Welcome, everybody, on this beautiful, well, dull, but not bad Sunday morning. And if there's any visitors, welcome. I hope you will enjoy our service this morning. And certainly, it looks like there's a lot of activities this week. Look at your bulletin for Church at a Glance and check out your announcements in the bulletin for anything that pertains to you. The only thing I'd like to highlight is today there will be a short meeting after today's service about the visioning process. So if you are able and can attend that, that would be great. So shall we bow our heads for prayer, opening prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we approach the season of Lent, may our worship be unending. May our love for you find new depths. May we journey toward the cross prayerfully and purposefully. May the season bring new hope and new healing. Help us to put in our trust in you so that in you we find the truest joy. During this time of reflection, help us to realize where we may have missed the mark in following your leadership. Help us to follow your path in everything we do. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our group was our group's turn to lead worship songs. But since we are in the choir already, so invited the whole choir and for the worship team. So let's sing all together number 5 in the brown hymnal. Number 5. Holy, holy, holy.
Number 528.
532.
Well, good morning, friends.
Good morning.
As a parent, I think a dull, nice Sunday sounds very nice. With apologies again, my children are homesick. Once one of them is sick, it's hard to gather the other. A reminder, as has been noted, we do have a meeting afterwards to affirm that to either continue this visioning process and to look forward, and we look forward to that. Nettie Braun has shared with me that her brother is here today from Leamington, Jacob Friesen. We're glad that you're able to visit with us. And now will be our time where we take any other... Oh, there we are, Jacob. Thank you for standing. I have been to Leamington before, and I understand why you would want to visit here. they have more wind power, I suppose, sure. Does anyone have any prayer requests? Now's the time where we can share those prayer requests, or we can also take any announcements that we may have missed and need highlighting. Okay. Oh, from behind. Can we have the microphone come up here for you? Just 1 minute so everyone can hear.
Good morning. On behalf of my husband, Ike, as you probably all know, he had a mild stroke. We praise God for that. It didn't affect any of his face or his speech, just his right arm and leg. So we're working with physio. What I want to say, too, is thank everyone who had a part in praying for us. And thank you for all the cards and well wishes Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be a part of a loving family. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
I just want to say that my brother-in-law, Ernie Nuder, is home. That doesn't mean he's fully recovered, but he's home, and I want to thank you all for prayers that has established this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. I have a very good friend of mine. Among her grandchildren is a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. The 5-year-old is at MAC right now with distended bowel. We prayed a lot, and so far the child does not need surgery, but they believe it's viral, but the family has asked for prayers. So I asked if I could mention it today, and they'd be glad to have a congregation praying for their little one and for the parents.
Are we able to know his name?
It's okay. Carter.
Carter, thank you.
This is my future daughter-in-law. And what we would like to ask for is prayer. Things are getting difficult for them to plan the wedding here in St. Catharines when they live close to Edmonton. And so we've been...
Can you please go a little closer on microphone?
Hello?
There you go.
My future daughter-in-law, we've been looking at wedding venues, and things seem to be getting really, really difficult for them because they're getting married here and they live close to Edmonton. We ask for your prayers that God will put into effect everything that they will require for their wedding, and that to keep her safe as she flies back tonight, and to keep Jeremy safe, and just to bless their work in trying to put together this wedding. It's very overwhelming at times for the both of them. Thank you.
Is it okay you share her name as well so we know the names?
This is Angela Roque.
Angela, thank you. Well, thank you everyone for sharing. We know that not everything... Oh, we still have back there. Well, while it's getting there, we know not everything can always be shared out loud. Know that we continue to pray for those prayers that are on your hearts. And we know that God hears those prayers and knows those needs as well. If you'd like something in the bulletin, please email the church.
Thank you. Paul's sister, Bev, I think we all know that she had cancer and she's had her surgery. But she's going to have, I think, 15 chemos. And then after that, she's going to have radiation. And I think her name is Bev. And maybe it would be nice if we could pray for her as well. She's going to be going through a difficult time.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that Paul is, I think he's running a marathon today. So I thank God that he is the one running the marathon and I am not. I'm more of a marathon sitter than runner. Yeah. All right, well, let's pray together. And at the end of me leading this part, we will do the Lord's Prayer. We will have that up on the screen as well, and you are welcome to pray that in whatever version comes from your heart and whatever language. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are not only a God who comes close, who hears our prayers, but that you are also a God who wants to hear. That you are a God who listens, a God who listens even to the whisperings of our hearts, those whisperings that we can't even put into words. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work your loving power so that we may see in our time the tools of evil, the tools of violence, the tools of warfare beaten into those prophetic tools of recreation. May we see all forms of swords beaten into plowshares. not just the tools that are being used, but also in our hearts. Turn us towards your ways of peace, of peacemaking, of new hope and new life. We pray, Lord, with all of those who are sick, who are lonely, who are battling addiction, who are battling hopelessness, who are battling. Lord, have mercy. Continue to work through your people. May we be your hands and feet as your church here and your church throughout the world to bring about those answers to prayer. Lord, we continue to pray along with Ike and his family that his rehabilitation would go well. Lord, we thank you that Ernie Nudolph has been able to go home from the hospital. We pray that you would continue to have your hands on him while he is recovering. Lord, we pray along with Ziggy and her friend for little Carter at McMaster Hospital. Lord, guide the doctors and the nurses and the caretakers in their wisdom and continue to heal him so that he may be able to go home. We continue to pray for our friend Paul's sister Bev. As she battles cancer and the long journey ahead, Lord, we thank you that you have been with her all the way through here, and we pray that you would continue to heal her as she enters these next difficult steps. And Lord, we pray in celebration with Jeremy and Angela as they continue to move towards a new life together. We pray that you would make their decisions clear and open up doorways so that they may celebrate as a community. Before we bring our tithes and offerings to you, as we continue to give as your church, Lord, we recognize that everything we have belongs to you. Everything we have is yours. Take what we have to offer, our finances, our words, our hearts, our hands, and use them to advance your kingdom in word and deed. Now, friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Kids, that's your cue. Come on up. Oh, there we go. There we go. Come on up. Come on up. Children's story. Hello. Good morning. How is everybody? Good? Good? I brought something with me. Marcus is already looking at it. We have some brownies. So I'll invite you to come on up, and I'll give you each a brownie. But here's the thing. You can't eat it. So come up, come forward. I'll give you a brownie, and then you just have to hold it, all right? Do you want to make a nice lineup here in front of me? Okay. And then you can bring it back to your seat, but don't eat it yet, okay? There you go. No, you can't. We're still doing children's story. I'm not just giving you free brownies. You have to listen to my story still. Okay. All right. Okay. So just hold your brownie for now. Don't eat it, but you can touch it. You can feel it. You can smell it. What does it smell like? Does it smell good? Yeah, like chocolate. Yeah. Would you like to eat it? Okay, you can't, but you would like to. You might be tempted to take a bite of your brownie, right? Have you ever heard that word, temptation? What does that mean? Can anybody tell me what that means? I can tell you what it means. Temptation is when we want to do something that we're maybe not supposed to do, right? So right now you're tempted to take a bite of your brownie, but I told you not to do it, right? It's not wrong to eat a brownie, but I said don't do it, so you might be tempted to do it, so you probably shouldn't, right? Because I said not to. Sometimes we might be tempted to disobey or not listen to our parents. Maybe one of the rules at school or daycare doesn't sound fun, and you want to do something else. You don't want to follow the rules. It can be hard to be obedient. In fact, on our own power, it's sometimes impossible to be obedient all by ourselves, right? But guess what? We don't have to obey everything on our own power because Jesus took care of that. So we can rely on Jesus' power to be obedient, right? Okay, would you like to eat your brownies now? Okay, you can eat your brownies, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about our story, all right? So go ahead. Jesus faced temptation, actually. He went out into a desert for a long time, and he didn't have anything to eat, so that made him pretty hungry. And Satan picked that time to try to make him do things that he wasn't supposed to do. Do you think Jesus might have been tempted? Yeah, he was pretty hungry, right? But he did not give in. Do you know what he used to get rid of the devil when he was being tempted? He spoke verses from the Bible, right? So he used that to stand strong against the devil when he was being tempted. When we're tempted, we can pray to God for help. We can read our Bibles, and we can focus on positive things in our lives. The best way to fight off a negative temptation is to focus on something wonderful instead. Why don't we pray for help with that right now? All right, let's pray together. Can you fold your hands and close your eyes? Okay, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to live a perfect life. Thank you that he can help us when we are tempted. Help us to do the right thing. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
This morning's reading is coming from Matthew 4 on page 1499. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command your angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Temptation. What is it that tempts you? What is it that tempts your heart? Don't worry, as we have images, these are all family friendly. What is it that tempts you to veer off path, to go a different direction than maybe the direction you intended to go in the first place? We are just over a month now into the new year, this time where many people make these proclamations, what they hope for in that new year. How have those been going for you? Has anyone here tried a diet? Know that you can't spell the word diet without the word die inside a little, right? If you've ever tried to have a diet, you know how temptation works. Because temptation is like a bag of potato chips. It's delicious. It draws us in. There has been an advertisement from years ago. It says, "I bet you can't have just one," about potato chips. Has anyone ever had just one potato chip before? If so, it must have been terrible tasting. That's the only reason for it, because it's good. And in our household, a way that we try to veer off temptation, because it's fine having some potato chips, right? Just a little bit. So we use bowls. We'll put some in a bowl, and that's kind of our portion control. But the problem with putting those potato chips in a bowl is, especially when I'm alone, when I'm home alone, because I know that the potato chip bag is still there, it calls to you. I can hear it whispering my name, and pretty soon I start with one bowl, and one bowl turns into two. That's not so many. But once you get to the bottom of that second bowl, what is it that can happen? Well, pretty soon it's full of a third bowl, and then I think, well, that's all I'm going to have. I won't do any more, but the potato chips are still there. And they're still there until suddenly they're not. I'm surprised to find myself at the end of the bag. That is how temptation works. It draws us in because we want more until we've gone too far. Sometimes it even draws us into those things that start out as something good and lead us to too much until it's no longer something good for us. So today we look at this great passage in Matthew. Now we're moving into chapter 4, looking at this temptation that Jesus faces. As we look through Matthew chapters 3 and 4, we start to see what Jesus' life of discipleship looks like. As he disciplines himself, He shows us what following him can look like, what discipleship looks like. In fact, if you look through your Bible, you will be surprised how infrequently the word Christian shows up. Jesus doesn't call us to be Christians. He calls us to be his disciples, those who learn after him so that we can think like him, love like him, act like him, follow his ways. So today, Matthew chapters 4, 1 through 11, a little context for those of us who haven't been following the whole way. And you can follow through this whole series of stories as we go through chapters 1 and 2, this Christmas story, going back to the homeland. Then suddenly we meet this wild person in the wilderness, John the Baptist, proclaiming this message, showing us what discipleship starts to look like, this call to turn around, this call of discipleship to God's way. That first step we can see of discipleship, which is to actually turn the right direction. And then from there, to decide to follow that new direction, to continue following this other way. And that's what we see in Jesus at his baptism. He's deciding not just to follow this new way, but to identify with all of us who struggle to turn around and follow that right direction. To come to us and to show us not only are we loved where we are, but that we can go and turn and follow this new way. All right, so I'm going to read this passage again. We've already heard it, but the reason we do this is so that it starts to become even more familiar to us. And it says, then, so right after his baptism, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, kind of this desert-like area. And the purpose was to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. All right, let's dig deeper into some incredibly rich aspects of this story, and as they echo through the whole Bible story. So first, we've just seen Jesus baptized before going out into the wilderness, and we are seeing some strong parallels between who Jesus is in Matthew and who God called the people of Israel to be. Just as they went through the waters before entering into the wilderness, so Jesus goes through the waters before entering into this wilderness as well. And it says that they will be in the wilderness, so that these people wandered through this wilderness for 40 years. Is it any wonder that we see this 40 days and 40 nights, this repetition, showing us that Jesus is able to make those good decisions that the people of Israel were not able to make. And it says that Jesus has been fasting. This is an old practice that goes way beyond when Christianity began, but continues to this day, where we go and we deny ourselves for a time food, so that as we feel those pangs of hunger, we are reminded that we do not live on bread alone. We are reminded to pray, and that it is God who is with us. This spiritual discipline. Jesus is doing this 40 days, 40 nights of fasting, this way of preparing himself for what comes next. And then we have the devil show up. And what's maybe most interesting to me in this passage, and maybe not interesting to you, so I'll keep this part short, but the different descriptions we get of Satan here. He's called the devil. Another word, we'll call him the tempter or the accuser or Satan. All these words mean the same thing, but in Matthew, he is referring back to this long-standing understanding, this long ancient belief that there is someone, this fallen angel, who works to accuse people, to tempt people, as we see in Job as well, as we see through the Old Testament, this fallen angel, Satan, who maybe at one point worked for God but took too much joy in bringing pain to Job and to others, who goes too far, this one veering us off path, all the way back to the Genesis story where we see this serpent tempting, take a bite. And maybe what's surprising to me is how well this Satan, this tempter, the devil, knows his scripture. I grew up memorizing large portions of scripture. I can tell you all the books of the Bible in order, and I can do it in a fun song, but I do not know the Bible as well as Satan. He's able to go in to manipulate it and use it in ways in this passage that show an expertise. And Jesus is brought into the desert for these three temptations, these temptations that continually get more and more and more tempting. And in those temptations, there's a very powerful word. If you are the Son of God. If, we're just asking the question. Well, if you bow down and worship, then all of this could be yours. And the first temptation we see is the temptation that's very practical. Jesus is hungry. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is capable. Why don't you just turn these stones into bread? That's not a big deal. And Jesus could have done that. But why not? Well, it's the temptation here to serve himself. Jesus has chosen to spend this time in the spiritual discipline of fasting. And Satan is saying, well, you don't have to be disciplined. You can just do this for yourself. Choose you. Choose comfort. Why deny yourself this? And then the second temptation elevates things out of the desert where the devil takes Jesus to the holy city, that's to Jerusalem, to the top of the temple, the place where you go to worship God, right at the top there. Just throw yourself down and everyone will see that you're the real deal. You can validate yourself. All those people who are doubting you will now be able to see that you are really the Son of God, the Messiah. They'll be able to follow you. You don't have to have all of those people turn you away. You don't have to go all the way to that cross that you know is coming. You could be king now. You could make things right. We're right here at the temple. Why not? This is God's house. It's your house. Do it. And then finally, as Jesus has turned these two away, we see the temptation that most people will fail at. Power. When handed the opportunity of power, of riches, of wealth, it is hard to say no. Well, Jesus, look at all these things. You could just have them all now. Imagine how good the world would be if you were the one in charge. I can give that to you now. You don't have to go through that pain and that difficulty. Take the power. And Jesus responds to each of these. He responds in Scripture, looking to Scripture in a clear way, pushing back against this manipulation, saying, no, get behind me. Satan, I'm not going to do what you want me to do because I'm going to be faithful even when it's hard. You see, the trouble for us is that we face temptations. We face opportunities to make choices that aren't honoring to the way of God, that aren't honoring to the way that Jesus calls us to. There's something about the word if that pushes us to want to prove ourselves. Well, if you're really, then, well, if, well, why not? If this, then that. And it starts to put those questions in our hearts. Did God really say that if you ate from that tree, you would surely die? Did that really happen? And the temptations that Jesus faced are temptations we face. The temptation to serve ourselves first, to choose us and what we want over that which would benefit our neighbors and others, to choose that which we want, our preferences, instead of that which we're called to put down our wants and needs for the sake of another way. The temptation to validate ourselves, to be the popular one, to be the one that everyone looks to and honors, to be the one who looks the best, to be the one who has that level of control, maybe even in a church setting. It's no wonder that this temptation is given to Jesus at the temple. How many of our Christian leaders have failed because we liked that whole shining light on us too much? Because we wanted that love and that attention for us instead of pointing to the one it's supposed to go towards. And then the temptation to empower ourselves. Empower yourself. You deserve it. All of that could be yours. Why not? Maybe God has blessed you so much that you should keep all of that for yourself. Don't worry about that person who has less than you. They probably did something. You deserve all of this. All of that power. All of this wealth. All of this comfort. We are faced with decisions. And they're not always as clear as they are here with Jesus. Satan doesn't just pop up as a physical person telling us something. And we'll be like, ooh, but I know you're Satan, so I'm going to say no. It ends up in these whispers. These drawing us to this place. Will I choose what works for me now? What fits for me now? What suits my preferences and what I enjoy now? Or will I prayerfully seek to follow God's way? Will I prayerfully go and seek if this is something that is right? Having bread when you're hungry in a desert for 40 days is a good thing, unless it's not something you're supposed to do at that time. But that's where we see hope in this passage, because Jesus is the one who shows us the way. In fact, later Jesus will give this direction to his disciples. It'll be right after Peter goes and tells him, no, you should never die. We're going to protect you. You can't go to that cross. What nonsense are you speaking? And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get back in line. Do not tempt me another way. This is the way it's supposed to be. In fact, let me tell you what following me looks like. Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. The Jesus way that overcomes temptations. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus. So what does this mean for us? What can we learn from this passage today? Well, we look to this passage because it is an important part of discipleship. Jesus shows us the way. He invites us to follow him, and he knows that we are going to go through some of those same things. That's why he goes through and is tempted, because he knows we will face temptation. That is part of following Jesus. We'll be tempted to veer off course. We will face temptations, often much smaller and simpler and less obvious than that which Jesus faces. And one of the curious things here that we see in the temptations is that Satan continually gives Jesus the option of following the Bible and what the Bible says in such a way that it takes away from what God's word is actually calling Jesus to. This recreating word. If we listen to Satan, he'll have us twist the Bible in ways that will suit us, that will suit our preferences, often in ways that will hurt our neighbors. If you want to go to the Bible and find excuses to enslave people and to treat them poorly, you could find it, and Christians did. If you want to go to the Bible in such a way to judge other people who are of different ethnicities, or to judge other people and to say that, no, only men should be in power, not women, you can find all sorts of reasons to hurt other people with the Bible. You can find reasons to say it's okay to go and to bomb those people. They're not the real people of God anyway. Who cares? What's a few more people? But Jesus never allows for any of that. Jesus is the one who interprets and understands Scripture in such a way that he is the Word of God. He is the embodiment of everything that God is. And so when Jesus uses Scripture, when we use Scripture as a community prayerfully through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will find that Scripture will point us to follow Jesus in the way we love others, in the way we make our choices. That's what the Bible's for, to point us to follow Jesus, to point us to follow that Jesus way, the Jesus way that asks us this question. As Jesus is confronted with serving himself at the moment, Jesus will tell his disciples, following me starts with what? Deny yourself. Will we deny or serve ourselves? Will we follow Jesus' way of the cross? He says to his disciples, take up the cross before Jesus goes to the cross. This seems like foolishness to the disciples. Why would we take up the cross? That means that this powerful Roman Empire has labeled us as insurgents, as rebels, even as pirates. That's what those who go to the cross. These are the people who stood up against the empire and get what is coming to all those who stand against the power of the world. Why would we go and choose the way of the cross, or when we could be validated, when we could go and have bigger, better churches and temples and buildings built in such a way that makes us feel good, instead of being those communities that take things up, that take up the cross in such a way that we follow Jesus no matter what the world says? Even to the point where there'll be other Christians that, if you really follow Jesus, there'll be people who call themselves Christians who will very quickly say, you must be a heretic and we're going to go and put you in the fires. And we know that's true because we're Anabaptists, and that happened to those who came before us. What will we choose? Will we choose the kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God? Will we choose this Jesus way? When Jesus says, follow me, he's saying, this is what the kingdom of God coming near looks like, the kingdom of heaven coming near. Or will we take the way, what Jesus calls the wide path of the world? Will we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and really follow Jesus, or not? And Jesus says, when we make that choice, it will seem to others like we're giving up our lives. It will seem to others like you're losing your life. Why would you make those choices? But Jesus says, if you do these things, you will have true life. That vibrancy, that newness, that is what comes only through this difficult choice. Will we choose that difficult way of life? Or will we choose the path that leads us towards choices that lead to death, choices that lead to pain, to hurting others? If is a powerful word. It leads us to these places of doubt. And I think doubts are healthy. I think asking questions are healthy. But if is something that starts to lead us to look inside ourselves and make choices that choose us. If this, then this. Overcoming temptation is not easy. Overcoming the real temptations in our lives will not be easy. And if you go it alone in life, you will fail. If you go it alone trying to think that I'll be able to overcome all of these things, you will discover that Satan has taken down far better, more powerful, more honorable, more holy people than you or me, just with a few whispers of Bible verses. But we do not go alone. We do not go just with a Bible as our protection. We go with the Holy Spirit as a community of people following Jesus. And wherever you go, wherever we go, there Jesus is also. Temptation is overcome. Making the right choices that lead to life for us and our neighbors only comes through following and trusting Jesus. So will we deny ourselves? Will we take up our crosses willingly and follow Jesus? That is the challenge we get from Jesus to be his disciples. If we are to be his disciples, then we will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. Jesus, thank you that you come to us. Thank you that you love us where we are and you call us to follow this new way that leads to life. Help us, Lord, to make better choices so that we can start to see that new life growing all around us. Lord, may we follow you and love you in such a way that your love changes our neighborhoods. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more song, 254, and the hymnal, 254.
Now receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord help you to cling to his cross so that you might experience eternal life that begins today. Go in God's peace. Amen.